One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The episode aired, and it was during one of our safety meetings, and this guy comes in. He was like a official from the fire department, and he like bursts in on our meeting, and he goes, "I see what you guys do in here. You guys are in violation." And then he pointed to me, and he goes, "You, the stuff you are doing. You need to cut that out."
You don't remember this? Like, he walked into the front of the shop and he was yelling, "Where's Tori? Where's Tori?"
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome back to MythFits, everybody. So glad that you are joining us again. Carrie, how are you? I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
That's just because you miss me. I love MythFit Mondays. I love catching up with you. I love catching up with everybody, actually. I was just looking at Instagram, and people are you know, really getting into conversations with each other and with us about like what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. Well, I saw that you had lunch with Jamie. How was that? How did that go?
Yeah, Jamie, he texted me and he's like, "I'm going to be in town. What are you doing? Do you want to like go hiking or grab some coffee?" So Linda, our old producer, and I were just like, "Yes, let's go grab some coffee." So we met at this coffee shop, and it was a little busy, and I could tell he was a little uncomfortable. He was a little worried that people were going to recognize him. And I think he just wanted to talk to me and make it more like just a catch up. So he was,
first it was like, an, it was like a sighting of Bigfoot, him out in the real world.
He was in disguise, not wearing a beret. Yeah. So he just like went around the corner and sat at one of those little parklets outside, and it was a super foggy day. So not a lot of people were out on the streets, and we just hours and hours of conversation. He's so interesting.
Now, was it conversation or was it just you listening to him talk?
No, back and forth. Like he wanted to know about my daughter and my dog. And
wow.
You know, we even broke it down a little bit, like post Mythbusters, like what happened with both of us. And he had a real like philosophical sort of introspection on celebrity and why he felt like our voices and our opinions and everything that we did were more important than they should be. Like we're just regular people. He didn't understand the celebrity of it. And that's why he kind of wanted to, you know, really research it and just like go be, you know, he kind of disappeared, you know, he pulled back.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be out there. He doesn't have social media. He doesn't have any of that. He just wanted to be himself, work on his projects. He worked on some really big, interesting think tank kind of projects. And yeah, he was done with all the celebrity.
It sounds like he's made some like emotional progress. I remember in the old days, it was just like he would come in from the weekend and we were like, "Hey, Jamie, how was your weekend?" "Fine." It was like, "Cool." And then it was like, "Hey, Jamie, Can you explain this mechanism on that machine that you're building? Well, I was working on it. And then he would just like ramble on for like a half hour. And you would just, he would just go into like this whole like mode of telling you every single detail of what he was doing. So it's just interesting to hear that he's changed. That's cool.
Well, I mean, mind you, we did talk a lot about drones, how they move, and his invention, because he invented a new drone that moved in a different way. Like, there was a lot of technical talk, but I also saw a couple opportunities to just be like, so, man, I mean, what was it like when MythBusters ended for you? Like, I started asking a bunch of questions. You know, we were talking about our dogs, like, you know, how he had Zero, yeah, and he had One, and you know, he had these different dogs. He's now at Pi. He skipped. He got a little creative. Cool. It's not three, it's Pi. I don't know how much he wants me to talk about what's going on in his world, since he doesn't want the celebrity. But let's just say he's well. He looks the same. He's super like he's really enjoying his life.
Well, I saw your post and it got a lot of attention. It was funny. You sent that article about I don't know which magazine, some like online magazine said,
yeah,
he resurfaces. Like, it's just so weird that, like, it's pretty interesting how he has just gone completely dark, you know, from everything. Not even like, I mean, he is literally in his shop working on his projects, where Adam is like, he went the other extreme.
I mean, did Jamie actually go dark, or is it just that he's not on TV anymore? Like, he never had social media. Any social media he did was run by somebody else. Like, he was never into that. So we saw him all the time because he was on TV. But funny enough, he is a professor at a college in Finland.
Interesting. I did not know that. No, I guess I mean the fact that, you know, you like he popped up one time when to make an announcement about the Russia-Ukrainian war. And it was just, you know, it was like, whoa, he's back. And then he went dark again. Where Adam is just constantly, you know.
Yeah, he's out there. He's got his own channel.
He's going to conventions. Yeah.
Well, Jamie did pop up once for me because I went and had lunch with him in last year. And he did a, hey guys, National STEM Festival. Well, it was a lot more monotone than that. He announced the National STEM Festival for me so that more kids would come join it, because he's always been really, really interested in kids. You know, his wife's a teacher and such. So he supported me in my National STEM Festival. So every now and then he'll pop up online, but I think it's because something forces him to.
Did you ask him to come on the podcast?
He said no.
Why?
I'm gonna do anything MythBustery anymore. I'm done with that. That was a different part of my life. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just ask every time I see you then.
I'm gonna go up there to his shop and I'm gonna see if we can get him to do the podcast. I think people would lose their minds to hear from him.
You're harder to say no to than I am, I think. You should go give it a shot.
I'll just be like, come on, Jamie, please don't make me beg.
Well, speaking of following you through your life, I saw that you had been on a lovely vacation. Yeah. You posted the pictures of paradise. And the whole time I'm like, in this, you know, San Francisco is so gray during the summer. And seeing that you were looking at these rainbow sunsets was amazing.
It was. Oh, my God. So anyway, we went to Hawaii for a week. And it was the most relaxing. I love Hawaii more than any place in the world. It's like, it just, you feel like you're healing when you're there. It's like, even in the sun, it's like, it's a healing sun. Or you go jump into the ocean and it's totally warm and you're like swimming with sea turtles. I mean, it was like paradise. And so, you know, the whole time we're there, we went for a friend's birthday. So it was a big group of us and we all stayed at a couple of houses. And so the whole time, you know, my wife and I are like, we got to move here. We like this. It's just, I just am so much happier, so relaxed. And this one friend kept going, but what about tsunamis? And he's from California. And I'm like, dude, like we have a better chance of getting hit by an earthquake in California than getting hit by a tsunami in Hawaii. So we're now flying out. Sure enough, that day we flew out, the earthquake hit off of the coast of Russia. And then there was this huge, they shut down the airport. So we literally just got out of Hawaii. And now all of our friends, some of our friends are still on the island. And now they have to deal with this, you know, potential tsunami coming for them.
Oh, my God.
And then, I mean, you are in California. So we landed in California and they were like, even the coast of California is going to be on alert because we don't know how big this wave is going
to
be.
Well, if you remember, every Tuesday at noon, we used to have the tsunami sirens would sound.
And
yes.
They'd be
like, woo, woo. You know, it was, and it sounded really post-apocalyptic. It was super cool. But they stopped. I don't know why they stopped doing it. Sometime over COVID, it stopped and they said they were fixing them, but they never came back. So unless I get an alert on my phone, I don't know a tsunami's coming. But like every single one of my friends was texting me going, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Tsunami's coming to your house. I'm like, it's the middle of the night.
Now, a lot of people don't know this. Back in the day when we were working on Mythbusters, you and I lived a block away. And we were maybe a block away from the ocean. So we were in the flat, like we were right at sea level. So whenever there was a warning for a tsunami, we would have to head up the hill. And I remember there was one time where there was this big earthquake off the coast of California. And me and my roommates, we all drove all the way up to the top of San Francisco's hill, like the highest hill, and like went to a bar and sat it out and watched the news and to see if this tsunami was going to come and hit us.
Yeah, we were evacuated a couple times where they thought it was going to be big. But, you know, the warning zone, you only have to go up to that coffee shop at the top of the hill. That's not even at the big street. It's not that far up that you have to go, apparently, because I would just go sit at the coffee shop. And that's when I realized, though, what is really important to me? What are you going to grab out the door when you think that there's an emergency? If you think there's a fire, an earthquake, or what are the things you grabbed? And I just grabbed my daughter and my dogs. That's it.
Nice.
I didn't grab anything else. I didn't care about any possessions, just my daughter and my dogs.
Not your piles of cash? you didn't put that in a suitcase and take that up?
I didn't grab my bag with my passports.
It's funny how you would go to a coffee shop and me and my roommates are like, let's go to the bar. I think it's best. It's best if we go to the bar. But anyway, so now we get back to California and we stayed up all night because we were just like, if it hits, because it was supposed to hit Hawaii, there was a little bit of flooding in certain areas, but all of our friends who were still on the island were like texting us. They're like, the sirens are going off. They're evacuating the hotel. Everybody's getting to high ground. It was like sketchy there for a few hours. But then when nothing really happened horribly in Hawaii, then we were like, okay, we're good. So anyway, that was the end of my most relaxing trip of a lifetime, and then just completely stressed out when we land. And then my buddy who kept saying tsunamis, he sends me a text and he goes, I told you, tsunami.
I told you. All right, Tori, since, you know, the MythBits Instagram and YouTube and website get so many questions, I feel like this episode we should really just answer some of them. You know, we love our MythFit community. We love the MythFit fans. So if keep asking these questions and we're going to answer as many as we can on air. But Tori and I tend to drone on.
Yeah, I feel like since we started this podcast, there's so much like excitement around this. Like, you know, we've been getting so many questions from you guys, and it's even more personal than on Mythbusters, because on Mythbusters, we would take your suggestions. You know, if we got something wrong, we would retest it. You know, we had the chat board and we would, you know, get the fans' input there. This is fun because it's like we're directly answering people's questions, you know, straight away. And love that aspect.
All right, our first question comes from Lithosaurus Rex. How much do the shop neighbors hate you guys? Example, rotting pigs, gunshots, explosions, and just Adam. Also, which neighbors hated you more, the ones at M5 or M7?
Well, you know what? A little fun fact. There was before M7, there was M6. And we got kicked out of that building because we were playing with wild skunks. We were doing black powder explosions, gas power explosions, and there was a photographer's studio next to ours, and he complained to the landlord, and they kicked us out of that building. And that's when we went over to M7. So,
well, can you imagine, though, you're a photographer and you're taking pictures, and all of a sudden there's just a loud boom. And I'm imagining a lot of faces just rah, like, I mean, a lot of real moments in that photography.
Yeah. And it wasn't just in the shop. Like, we took a lot of the experiments out into the parking lot, and we just filled up the parking lot with all of our busted up vehicles, our crew vehicles. And so we would get a lot of complaints about, they're taking up all the parking spaces. I can't even park next to my studio because they've all filled all the spots. Like, he was so pissed.
And all the stuff that was really gross, Jamie didn't want it happening in his shop. Like, he wanted it to happen at M6. Like, getting sprayed with a skunk. Nah, I don't want that in front of my shop. Let's do that in front of the other shop. And just
right. Peeing on a third rail. I don't want anybody peeing in my shop.
Yeah. So M6 kicked us out, and then we went around the corner to M7. And the funny thing about this neighborhood is that it was after the tech boom, and it was a little, you know, a lot of industry kind of disappeared from San Francisco. So the industrial part of town, you know, it was still affordable. There was not a lot going on there. It was an easier place to be. We could do all of this crazy stuff like gunshots, because there were organically not gunshots in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was
exactly.
a little cutty.
It was what Carrie's trying to say. It was a very rough neighborhood. I remember one time somebody broke in and stole everybody's laptops in the middle of the night. And so then we had to get a cage put on the windows. And to Carrie's point, if we were doing like an experiment, like the quick draw, we had these blanks. We were trying to see how fast each of us could pull a gun out and shoot. But because we were using blanks, they called the cops because they thought somebody was actually firing bullets. And so we're out in the parking lot. It was that one neighbor who was living in that building across the way from us, who was there illegally, by the way.
Yeah. Also, I think he was growing weed. Back when weed was illegal.
Right, because he had foil. He had foil over his windows, which
and
it was
you
like
could smell it, dude. You could totally smell
interesting.
It.
Interesting. So I remember the three of us were out in the parking lot doing like drawing from our holster and then firing. And all of a sudden, two police officers rolled down the street and were like, put the guns down. And we like turned around, raised our hands, and they're like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we're doing an experiment. These are blanks. And he's like, yeah, but think about how this might look to your neighbors.
Right.
You got three people out here shooting off a gun with blanks. How do you think that's looking? And we're just like, but we're doing a TV show. No, we're not really shooting bullets out here.
What are you talking about? I'm like, three doors down, I'm pretty sure that's a chop shop. So come on, guys. Do you remember we were away for a couple days, and all of our cars were parked in the parking lot because we all caravaned, and like Grant's license plate got stolen. A couple of the license plates got stolen.
No, I don't remember that.
I think we came back earlier than you did, because I remember he was like, what? That neighborhood also had a curfew when we would drive home late. Like, nobody was driving on the streets, and you just had to be careful not to get pulled over. You're not supposed to be driving in that neighborhood at night. It was also in the part of town where we were downwind from the guy growing weed, a donut manufacturer, and a rendering plant. So every now and then the wind would shift, and at first you'd be like, going, donuts. And then by the end of that breath, it would switch, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, was that rendering plant? It was just that vile, vile smell.
Oh, so gross. It's like you can never forget the smell.
I can never forget the smell. We had a lot of good smells.
And then that same, I've told this story before, but that same neighbor snuck over and turned off the refrigerator truck when I was working on Meat Man. Because every 20 minutes, the engine would, the generator would kick on to keep the truck cold. And so we came in the morning and I was like, why is the generator not kicking in? And I like opened up the back of it and all these flies come out and the stench of this rotten meat. And I was like, that guy, he climbed out of his window because there was no way to get into this parking lot because at night there was a big giant rolling gate. So it's like, there's no way he was able to hop that fence. So he climbed out of his window that we shared the parking lot with, turned off the refrigerator truck, and then jumped back in.
He's squirrely. That's hard to do. That's real hard to do. Yeah, I don't know if we've told this story before, but do you remember when we were testing it was a Green Hornet myth, which, by the way, you can't see online anymore because none of the Mythbusters episodes that did movie myths are broadcast online anymore because the rights to the movies they don't have, and so they can't stream them. So it's
that's a bummer.
I know. I mean, I've got them on a hard drive somewhere, so I can pull up some of those those stunts. But this was a Green Hornet myth where the car in the movie got cut in half, and then they just kept driving it around. So we were in the shop, and we cut the car completely in half. And, you know, we were working indoors, and the car was loud because it was cool. And you told me to turn, you know, we had the engine running, and you said, no, I heard go. And the car bust through the wall and into our neighbor's wall and pushed all their desks back. Like a car came from our shop and pushed into the wall. And like, can you imagine you're sitting at your desk and a car comes through the wall?
Well, so what we actually ended up, so we had M7, which was our shop where we were doing all the building. And so we cut this car in half and we were trying, you know, the myth was how long can a car without a gas tank drive, right? In the movie, they cut the car in half and this thing is driving all over the shopping center, where it's like, it continues to drive. And we're like, okay, so there would only be a small amount of fuel in that fuel line. Let's see how long it would last. And so what we had to do is we ended up renting another space down like next door. So because we needed to drive around indoors with this half car, but we needed the space. We couldn't do it in our shops. We took over this other shop. And then I had the hood up and I was using starter spray, the engine starter fluid to get the engine going and then then I was going to safely get out of the way and then Carrie would go. But apparently she misunderstood what I said and she almost ran me over. And then I don't know why you didn't steer, like, why did you drive straight into the wall? Like, what were you thinking?
I don't think it was on purpose.
You still had steering.
I have no idea what happened. I can't even remember at this point what happened. I have to go back and watch watch the clip of that. But the car just lurched. It was out of my control. It was out of my, we were cutting all of the wires and things that when we were cutting the car in half, maybe we cut the wrong wires. I don't know. I wasn't trying to run you over. I promise. I was not trying to kill you.
I think what happened, because as we're telling the story, I'm remembering it was so tricky because we only had a short period of time for the car to drive because, you know, the fuel line had only so much fuel that once we got the engine started, we needed to go quickly and test it. So I think you were just like overzealous. Like you were like, okay, it's running. So now I have to drive. But that
because you said go instead of no. I think I said, are you ready or something like that.
And well, that still doesn't. That still doesn't explain why you steered right into the wall.
I'm not a very good driver. I don't know.
It's a mystery to me.
I feel like it was out of control. I wouldn't have done that on purpose. I'm sure the fans have seen this episode 100,000 times and they're going to tell us like, you dummies, this is what actually happened. You don't even remember it because you're old. Because it was 20 years ago. I just remember the craziness for the poor neighbors who they must have all just hated.
Well, do you remember the guy like popped his head in through the crack in the wall? Like it pushed, it was the wall. There was a barrier between the shops. The wall was just built of those sheet steel 2x4s. They're totally, you know, flexible and they're not that durable. And then drywall. And so you had just pushed right through that. And the guy popped his head in. It was like, what the hell? Because his desk was right up against that wall. So his whole desk just got pushed back a few feet. And then there's our car sticking into their shop.
Yeah, but his desk job was probably more interesting that day than it ever had been. He had a good story to tell for the rest of his life.
I feel like they handled it really well. Like if somebody else had driven a car into your shop, I would be pretty upset. They were like kind of laughing about it. I felt like they handled it pretty well. Good on them.
They did handle it really well. And I think you're wrong though, Tori. I think you would have laughed your ass off if somebody had driven a car through your desk job day. I think you would have been like, yeah, what? This is awesome.
Maybe you're right.
It definitely couldn't be worse than when we shot the grappling hook through the wall. Cause that was like, that actually was, that was
we
even
could have killed somebody.
It didn't hit anybody. Luckily.
I know, but we could have killed somebody many a time.
Well, I mean, I feel like that is, it wasn't working that good. I mean, I have this cartoon image of a hole being bust through a wall. You see a grappling hook come through the wall and then get pulled out. And then three goofballs looking in through the hole going, sorry. Everybody okay God. In there?
That was that whole experiment was like just crazy. Remember Grant was testing the cannon and he didn't have it mounted to the table. So when the hook shot out, the cannon also shot backwards and it destroyed a high-speed camera. And if we were standing behind it, we'd probably be dead also.
Just for some behind the scenes drama, I don't know why I was being so saucy that day, but I remember when we were testing if you could turn a sharp corner using a grappling hook. It was like a Batman myth. The grappling hook's attached to the car. The grappling hook goes around a pole and it makes the whole car turn a really, really sharp corner. I mean, it is also very goofy and cartoony, but I refused to say that it was busted, and like off camera, y'all were getting pissed because you're like, well, the day is done, dude. Just say it's busted. I'm like, no, I feel like with like nanotechnology, we could find a cable that was strong enough. It's just because we couldn't afford it. But if we could afford like the real technology, and you guys were just like, Carrie, we couldn't prove it. It's busted. And I was just, for some reason, I don't know, I was sticking to my guns. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
It's plausible, you guys.
That was a thing that everybody, like every once in a while, someone would become a purist. And it was just like, oh, we're doing a TV show. Like, I want to go home. But you know, it was funny. For that experiment, I had to make a Batmobile. So we got this old Camaro. I put these big fins on it, sculpted it. It was like one of them, like one of those, like just making a prop car was just such a dream come true.
It was so cool.
Oh, thank you. But so I remember one of the producer was Todd Mesro. He said, let's go take it for a ride and we'll get some B shots, you know, get some B roll. And this car was not registered. So it didn't have a license plate. And so we're like, let's just drive around the corner real quick. It'll be quick. We're driving around, getting the shots. All of a sudden we get lit up. A cop pulls me over and he's like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, we're doing a TV show. What does it look like we're doing? And he's like, this car doesn't have the license plate. Where's the registration? And then Todd got out real quick and was like, hey, sorry, our shops are out over here. We just needed to get a quick couple of shots. And he's like, all right, like, I know what, you know, I know the show, but if I find you guys driving around again, you're going to get a ticket. So he let us off.
Man, I mean, if I saw that car, I'd let you off too. I'd be like, that is just too cool. I'm not going to give you a ticket for that. There's real crimes happening in the world. I'm going to let the Batmobile go.
Yeah, we're going to go fight crime. We're helping you. We're on your side, man. So Carrie, do you remember, speaking of our neighbors hating us,
dude, are we going to have a whole episode about how much our neighbors hate us? Yes, go on, Tori. Tell another story.
Speaking of neighbors hating us, we were testing Confederate rocket. There was this myth that back then somebody had developed this rocket. And so we were trying to see if we could take what they had technology-wise back then and recreate our own rocket. So what do? We had our quote unquote bunker, which was a shipping container inside the shop, and we lit this rocket and it like We had it mounted inside, so it wasn't going to get anywhere, but it was so powerful and there was so much fuel that we literally smoked our shop out. So we had to, like, everybody had to get out of M7. We rolled up our roll-up door, and now this smoke just pours out and hits every single shop on its way down, like, you know, as it's airing out. We're smoking out all these people, and they're just like, you guys are idiots. And so, like, I don't know, it was maybe like a month or so later, the episode aired, and we get, it was during one of our safety meetings, and this guy comes in, he was like a official from the fire department, and he like bursts in on our meeting, and he goes, I seen what you guys do in here. You guys are in violation. And then he pointed to me and he goes, you, the stuff you are doing, you need to cut that out. And I was
he called for you specifically. You don't remember this? Like, he walked into the front of the shop and he was yelling, where's Tori? Where's Tori? Like, OSHA,
why are you stealing here?
You.
We're all doing it. Oh my God.
That was the thing though, is we, you know, we weren't meant to be doing any of the things we were doing. We probably all have drain damage now from the stuff we were doing indoors. None of that we didn't have a filtration system or fans or anything like that.
They're
like, no, you need to operate differently, because we were just insulated in this just basic warehouse. And the thing is, for that rocket, we had to make gun cotton. And when we were doing it for the first time, we were doing it in the sink of M7, and it was so toxic. I remember Grant's girlfriend at the time was a chemist, and she came to visit. She's like, you guys should be wearing respirators. You shouldn't be doing this indoors. What are you doing? Because gun cotton is like a type of explosive that was used to like clean firearms, but it was also it was quite noxious. It was probably something we shouldn't have been making in the sink. But then, okay, so we're making it in the sink. She tells us not to do it. Then Jamie and Adam take it to large scale. And I remember Eric Haven was making it in a hotel bathtub, but with a respirator this time, in a hotel bathtub.
Oh my God.
Remember this? And it was just like, yes. Okay, you guys, we, then after OSHA came, we're like, maybe we need to start paying attention a little more to our safety. We were always very safe with things like guns and fire, and when we were doing anything with our experts, but sometimes we were a little run and gun. We were just like, let's see what happens.
Think about the years of our lives we lost because of that show.
Serious. You know how much smarter I would be today if I wasn't just making gun cotton openly in the office?
Yeah.
Tori, I don't know if you realize this, but we have spent the entire episode on just this one question. Just this one. We were going to answer a bunch of questions. This whole episode on one question. And I'd like to wrap this up by saying the moral of the story is, don't move next door to us. You might end up with a cannonball, a grappling hook, a car, smoke, or possibly noxious gas in your space.
And it's like, how did they find out? It's not like we were broadcasting what we were doing globally. I think we'll save these questions for another episode, because this was fun. It was like remembering all the crazy stuff we were doing. And at the time, you're so focused on what we're doing, and you got the cameras on you, and you're like, we're the most important thing right now, that we never, you know, we weren't taking into consideration our neighbors. So we're sorry about that.
We're sorry. And I think we're going to have to do another one of these episodes and maybe answer a couple more questions. So let's do another Ask Me Anything. We'll do it in part two. So until then, guys, like, subscribe, ask all your questions, and maybe Tori and I will get to one of them in an entire episode. Stay weird, MythFit.
Yeah, stay weird. Thank you.
Pioneer.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.